As I've noted, in Psalm 119, verse number 1, we encounter the phrase, in the way. With this phrase, we're introduced to an important subject matter of this lengthy psalm. For Psalm 119 includes these words, way, ways, path, 20 different times throughout the psalm. As we noted in the previous message last week, the phrase, in the way, employs the words, the way, without any form of modification. It's not the way of the Lord, or the way of the devil, or the way of the world, or the way of truth. It's just the way. And in speaking of it that way, in verse number 1, the way, without any modifiers, it's speaking simply of the fact that in life, you have to travel. You have to travel. You have to move forward. Time you say, no, I'm just going to sit still. But time moves forward, so you're still moving forward. You know, the fact of the matter is, with this knee injury that I acquired last week, that various and sundry of you have been so wonderfully kind to come up and seek to encourage me concerning the matter by pointing out the fact that it must just be the reason for the pain and the reason for the problem must simply be because I am getting older. Now notice, I did not say because I have gotten old, since I have not. I have not yet gotten old. Old is yet down the line somewhere. But I am indeed getting older. The fact is if you were born and then you sat in one spot and never moved for your entire life, even if you never went forward or back or sideways, right to the left, up or down, would not matter. Life would still be moving forward and you would have to move forward with it. You would still be getting older. Doesn't matter. You have to move forward in life. Time keeps moving and you move with it. Even if you don't actually get up and move your legs or your arms or any other part of your body. That's in the way. You have to travel it. And as we noted last week concerning this matter, that in the way, that this phrase in the way refers to the fact that we almost travel along the pathway of life. And we considered last week in the message that the phrase in the way directs our attention upon three aspects of this life that we all must encounter, that we have no real way of avoiding. These three aspects of life are the matter of challenges. If you live in this life, you face challenges. Right? If you live in life, you face challenges. Number two, if you live in life, there's the matter of choices. You have to make choices. You have to. You can make right ones, you can make wrong ones, you can make foolish ones, you can make wise ones, but you have to make them. Even saying, well, I just won't choose, is making a choice. I got choice number one, and I have door number two. You know, do you want what's behind door one, or do you want what's behind door two? And the guy says, I'm just not going to choose. I'm not choosing either one. Isn't that still a choice? Still a choice. We have to make choices. So we have to face challenges. We have to make choices. And then number three, the third thing that is always true about life is the matter of consequences. You have to accept the consequences. I mean, you may not willingly accept them, but they will come. Whatever choice you make, there will be a corresponding consequence. You stir up the hornet's nest, you're likely to get stung. Amen? All right. That's what happens, you know. There's a corresponding consequence to every choice you make. Every single one. We considered that last week. But as we move forward in Psalm 119, we come to yet a different phrase and a different idea in the passage. Look now at verse number 3. In verse 1, we have the phrase, in the way. No modifiers. Not in His way or in our way. Just in the way. But in verse number 3, the Word of God says this, they, speaking of a particular group of individuals, also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Now there is a modifier in that phrase, is there not? There's the possessive His, speaking about one particular way that we could choose in this life. As we're making our choices, we have the choice, we have the ability, we have the opportunity to make a choice, and that choice could be to choose His way. Amen? In fact, as we go throughout Psalm 119, it's pretty clear that in this Psalm, it's the way that the psalmist indicates, yea, that God through His Word indicates that we ought to choose. We ought to choose His way. Throughout the Psalm in Psalm 119, this way, His way, the Lord's way, is further described as the way of His testimonies, the way of His precepts, the way of His commandments, the way of His statutes. It's even called in Psalm 119 the way of truth, as opposed to the way of falsehood. The intention of Psalm 119 is to exhort us, to encourage us to choose this particular way, the way of our Lord, as the direction of our daily walk along each step of the way as we face life's many different challenges. As we face the challenge, choose God's response. Amen? We talked last week. In the way of life, there is challenges, choices, consequences. As we face the challenges, what choice will we make? Psalm 119 says, choose God's way. Amen? Every challenge that you face, Psalm 119, yea, the whole of God's Word says, choose His way. When you're making decisions about your finances, God's Word says, choose His way. When you're making decisions about your time and what you're going to do with it, God's Word in Psalm 119 would say, choose His way. When you're making choices about marriage or about children, about raising children, about dealing with your grandchildren, about the relationships on the job, God's Word would say, choose His way. Amen? You have the challenges of the life, the choices of life, the consequences of life, but God's Word says, in that point of choice, choose His way. Now, what other ways are there to choose? Well, I could choose my way. There's a lot of people in this world choosing my way. There's even songs written about it. Right? But I did it my way. The problem with doing it your way is it's wrong. Somebody probably should have told the songwriter that. Doing it your own way is the wrong way. In fact, doing it our own way is the very reason why we end up as sinners on our way to hell. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the problem. That's not the solution. The solution is that we need to come to the Lord and do it His way. You know, there's another way to do it. We could do it the world's way. But the world's way always boils down to doing it our way. When you hear all of the statements about the world's advice and counsel, you know ultimately what the world is counseling you to do? Do what you want. Do what you feel like doing. Do what makes you happy. Do it your way. But that's not what God's Word indicates. The Word of God indicates that we should choose to do it His way. And you know, it indicates that when we choose to do it His way, there will be a corresponding consequence. What will the consequence be? Well, Psalm 19, verse 1 through 3, reveals that the consequence for choosing the way of our Lord as the particular direction for our daily walk is that our Lord's favor and blessing will be poured out upon our lives. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. The corresponding consequence is God's favor and God's blessing upon your life. But you have to choose to do it His way. You have to choose to walk His way. That must be your choice. And so we begin here this morning with this message. What is involved for us? If we hear all this and we say, fine, okay, there's the challenges. And in the midst of the choices and facing the challenges, I will choose His way so that I can have the consequence of His blessing and His favor on my life. But what is required in the midst of the choice? What is required to choose His way? What will be required of me to be certain to choose His way? Well, in this first part of the message, and for those who will not be here for the others, you're only going to get the first few points of the matter. But in this first part of the message, we'll be considering two of the nine elements revealed here in Psalm 119 on how to choose His way for life. The first of these elements, there's the need for determination. The need for determination. Now by that, I'm not saying that I just need to buckle down and I'm going to get it done by my own strength. No, I'm talking about a determined choice. This is about the matter of choice, not about the matter of ability or the matter of power. See, if you're just going to get it done in your own ability and power, you'll not get it done. But if you don't make a determined choice to go in a certain direction, you'll never go in that direction. There has to be a determined choice. In Psalm 119, verses 30 and 31, the psalmist there declares in both of the first two truths, first two elements that I'm here to present to you, come out of verse 30 and 31. Psalm 119, verse number 30 and 31, the psalmist says, I have chosen. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto Thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Here the psalmist made a determined choice to follow the way of truth. That is, to follow the way of the Lord. He made a determined choice to follow the way of the Lord's judgments and testimonies. That's how he defines the way of truth here in these verses. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto Thy testimonies. That's how we define the way of truth. Whatever God says in His Word, that is the way of truth. And He says, I've chosen that way. Amen? I've chosen the way of truth. We cannot just go with the flow of the influences around us, brethren. If you just go with the flow, you won't follow God's way. You just get on the road and go with the traffic. You know, there's a number of individuals that are visiting us here this morning, and after the service, if you've not already done so, you could shake their hand and welcome them. Certainly, many of them have been here before, amen. It's good to have the family. But I know that after the service this morning, there's an intention to leave and to head to another place. Is that correct? And where are you planning to go? Up north, right? Up north. So when they leave out of here, they're going to go that way. No, that would be going south. You see, if they're planning to go up north, not going home, down south, but go to the cabin up north, there had to be a determined choice which one they were going to, right? I mean, they had to choose. If they just get in the vehicle this morning, if Uncle Spike gets in the vehicle, and Dwayne and Jody are going to follow him, and they just get in the vehicle and they get on the road and they just find any vehicle on the road and say, let's just follow them. Wherever they go, we're just going to go. Wherever they go, we're just going to follow them. We're just going to go with the flow. Just go with the flow. I dare say that they will never get to the cabin because nobody else is driving there. In fact, very few people, if any others, even know where it is. From what I hear, they've not even invited me to it. For some reason, they've invited everyone else in the family, but they have not invited me. I'm not sure. They're just afraid that I don't know. Maybe they don't like me. I don't know what it is. But the fact is, I haven't been there. But many others that describe the cabin tell me that it's off the road a ways. Just a short ways. You can't quite see it from the road. All those kinds of things. From what I understand, it's actually something like 50 miles off the main track or something like that, right? No, not quite that. No, not quite that. Amen. But it is off the main drag, right? If you just go with the flow of all the other people, you're probably not going to get there. No, they're going to have to make a determined choice to turn right and turn left at certain places to get where they planned on going. Now here's my question. I use all that laughter and all of that joking to make this point. If you plan on going God's way, you can't just go with everybody else because you won't get there. Because not everybody else is going there. You can't just get on the track and just say, I'll just follow him. I'll just follow her. Now, it is true, the Word of God does indicate that if we find someone that is following after God, we can follow them as they follow Christ. Amen? They can be an example before us. But you can't just go with the flow of this life. You can't just go with the flow of the world around you. Not if you intend to go His way. Because the majority of people around are not going His way. Sad to say, terribly sad to say, but you can't necessarily just go with the flow of the people in church. Because many times there's a great majority of God's own people in church not going His way. That's sad to say, terribly sad to say. It's terribly sad to say that sometimes you can't even follow after various and sundry leadership in the church because they're not always going His way. But if you're going to go His way, there must be a determination, a determined choice. His way is my way, and therefore all other ways must be set aside. The psalmist here said, I have chosen. We can't just go with the flow of the influences around us. Brethren, I want you to understand that the system of this present evil world, and that's how God describes it. God describes the system around us and the world around us as this present evil world. Now that word evil kind of tells us it's not going God's way. Turn on the television. The majority of the television shows on television, are they emphasizing God's way? Turn on the radio, and most of the radio stations that are there, talk radio or music radio, I don't care, news radio, throw that one in the mix as well. Are most of them emphasizing His way? No. Let's consider the various and sundry heroes that we might choose for our time. Sports heroes, music heroes, acting heroes, political heroes. I don't care. Pick the heroes of our time. Are most of them going His way? No, the fact is that the world around us, the system around us, is this present evil world. And you can't just go with the flow of that because it's not God's way. It's not going in God's way. The system of this present evil world has not been established in order to help our walk in the way of our Lord. Rather, the system of this present evil world will spoil us through ungodly philosophies and through vain deceits, not directing us unto our Lord, but directing us after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, directing us to go our own way. And that's not going His way. There has to be a determined choice. And in that determined choice, as we go further on, we're going to find that not only must we choose His way, but that means we have to choose not the other way. Amen? It has to be a determined choice. In addition, let me present to you that we can't just go with the influence of our own selfishness. We can't. The selfish desires of our own sinful flesh will never direct us after the way of our Lord, but will only direct us astray from our Lord after our own way. Romans 7 verse 18 tells us that in our flesh, in our sinful, selfish flesh, there dwells no good thing. Not even the smallest speck of good can be found there. I'm not talking about the physical body. I'm talking about that principle of selfishness that's in every single one of us. You know what the principle of selfishness says when it looks at the way of the Lord? It says, I'm not bowing down to that. I'm doing it my way. It's my life. And I'll live my life my way. Nobody else is going to tell me what to do. God's not going to tell me what this is. I'm a master of my own destiny. By the way, you're not. You may be the master of your own choices, but you're not the master of the consequences that follow. And if you ever convince yourself that you are, you will be terribly self-deceived. You are permitted to make your own choices. Sure you are. But you can't decide then what the consequences will be. God decides that. God decides that. Right? In fact, I know many a person who makes wrong choices
And then says, but I didn't want these consequences. Then you shouldn't have made those choices. See, we want that whole idea of the cake. You want your cake, but you want to eat it too. You want all of the nice, beautiful icinged cake and go, wow, isn't that so beautiful? Don't cut into it. But I'm hungry and I want to eat cake. You can't have both. Either you cut into it and eat a piece, or you don't cut into it and you get to stare at it. Drool all over it. It's one or the other. You can't have both. Well, that's the problem. You make the choice for wrong, you take the consequence that comes with it. You make the choice for right, you take the consequence that comes with it. By the way, the consequence of right is not always fun. Sometimes the consequence for righteousness is persecution and pressure. But it's also God's favor and blessing. I suppose it comes down to, do I want the world's persecution and pressure and God's favor and blessing, or do I want the world's favor and blessing and God's persecution and pressure? I'll choose that side. Because I know this, eventually the world's gone, but God's still there. And I know this, eventually God's favor and blessing will overcome the world's persecution and pressure. But the world's favor and blessing will never overcome His pressure and persecution, or chastening and discipline. We'll never overcome it. So let's choose the way of the Lord. But that requires a determined choice, the need for determination. Now, brethren, let me do point out to you that there is one influence you can follow. Amen? For us as believers, the influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of our Lord within us, will always direct us to walk after the way of the Lord in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And therefore, if we would walk after the way of our Lord, we must make a determined choice each day not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed after the image of our Lord through the renewing of our mind through the directing influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We must make a determined choice each day to put unto death the desires and deeds of our selfish, sinful flesh through the divine empowerment of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We must make a determined choice each day to deny ourselves, to take up our cross of submission to the Lord and to follow Him in all things. We must make a determined choice each day to present ourselves unto our Lord as a living sacrifice to be lived for Him, not to be lived for self. To be holy before Him in all manner of behavior, and thus to walk well-pleasing in His sight. We must make a determined choice each day to put on and abide in our Lord Jesus Christ, to make no provision for the flesh whatsoever to fulfill its desires. If we would walk after the way of our Lord, we must make a determined choice each day to let His Word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Amen? We must make a determined choice to take up the truth and teaching of our Lord's Word as the authoritative standard of truth for our hearts and lives, whereby we will discern good and evil in all things. You know, the reason why the world just goes all about and never really seems to have a settled way is because they don't have a settled standard. New ideas are coming up all the time. In reality, they're not really new. They're just being recycled over and over and over again. And our country believes in recycling, right? So we just keep recycling old ideas. The ideas that didn't work for Rome and didn't work for Greece and didn't work for Persia and didn't work for Egypt and didn't work for Babylon and didn't work for the ancient Chinese civilization and didn't work and didn't work and didn't work, we just recycle them again. Why can't we just come to the one standard that never moves? The Word of God. Amen? And say, if God says it's right, then guess what? It's right. If God says it's wrong, then guess what? It's wrong. If God says do it, then guess what? Do it. If God says stop doing it, then guess what? Stop doing it. You don't need to argue. Well, now God, I know you said stop doing it, but I need evidence. I need reasons. I need good reasons. Don't give me any of those poor reasons. Just give me a good reason. By the way, how many reasons does God have to give other than I said so? How many parents have ever used that one with their children? Do that. Why? Because I said so. Is that supposed to be a... Just parents, tell me. Is that supposed to be a good enough reason for the child to obey? Sure. Now, it's right for us as parents, as our children to get older, to begin to explain to them the reasons behind the principles and the precepts that we give to them, because one day they're going to go out on their own, and when they go out on their own, they need to understand reasons, because then they're going to make their own choice, and they need to know how to make them right. Amen? But here's what I want to point out. When the authority, parent, says to the child, do this, and the child says, why? And the parent says, because I said so, that should be enough. If that's enough for a parent to a child, how much more should it be from God Almighty to His creatures? Because He said so. Now, He does explain Himself a whole lot more than that. He really does. He gives us a whole lot more wisdom than that. But that's all He should need. When He came to Adam and Eve and He said, don't eat of that tree. If Adam said, why? God could simply say, because I said so. Don't eat. Just don't do it. And that should have been enough. Amen? Should be enough for us too. See, we need that standard that we obey, that we follow, that never moves. And then everything can be examined on that standard. Everything that we do can be examined on that standard. You see, this is the very means by which the indwelling Holy Spirit will renew our minds and transform us after the Lord through the Word of God. This is the very means by which we may abide in our Lord and He in us through the Word of God. This is the very means by which the indwelling Holy Spirit will direct us in the way wherein we ought to walk through the Word of God. This is the very means by which we may be instructed in the way of righteousness and true holiness by the Word of God. This is the very means for us to know the way that God would have us to go to please Him in our lives through the Word of God. In order for this determination I present to you, we need to make a determined choice. I will go His way. I will follow His Word. Yet, as we move to the second truth, let me present to you, for this determination, for this determined choice to walk after the way of our Lord to be fully effective, there must be inseparably joined another element to it. There's the need for determination, but there's also the need for conviction. Now, I'm not talking about conviction of sin now. I'm talking about conviction of truth. In Psalm 19, verse number 30 and 31, again, look there. The psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I've stuck unto Thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Now look at it again. I mean, get this. Don't miss this. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. The obvious question then would be, what's the way of truth? How do you know the way of truth? If you're going to choose the way of truth, how can you know what it is? That's the obvious question. And as you read the two verses, what's the obvious answer? The psalmist said, I've chosen the way of truth, and the very next two words were, thy judgments. Right? Those are the very next two words. Thy judgments have I set before me. Then he says, I have stuck unto what? Thy testimonies. So if you were standing there and the psalmist said, I've chosen the way of truth, and you say, well, I want to choose the way of truth too. Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, let's choose the way of truth together. But how do we know the way of truth? How do we know what way is the way of truth? The psalmist would have looked at you and said, His judgments, His testimonies. That's the way of truth. And what I'm trying to draw out of that on the second element is not just that we need to make a choice, but that we have to have conviction. There must be determined choice to say, I'm going to choose that way. But there has to be a conviction in your heart that goes all the way down to its very depth that you believe with all of your heart, this is the truth. See, if you waver on that, then you hear some other idea and say, well, that sounds pretty good. I know it doesn't quite match up to what the Bible says, but maybe the Bible's not right on this one. Maybe God's Word's not quite right on this one. That guy sounds like he's got a really good argument. Wow, I'm telling you, that sounds like it would work. See, if you don't have a deeply rooted conviction that God's Word is truth, it's truth all the time. It's truth about everything. It is always truth. There's nothing in it that's not the truth. There's no point questioning it because it is truth. If you don't have that conviction, you'll waver. But if you have that conviction, well, there may be times you disobey it, but you'll know full well you're disobeying the truth. Because you're convinced this is the truth. And that's the second thing the psalmist had. He didn't just make a choice. But he said, I've chosen the way of truth, and I know what way that is. It's God's Word. That's truth. It's always the truth. He never doubted that. You see, you can hear it in the psalmist. Throughout the psalm, he bears this testimony out. In verse number 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right. Again, in verse 105, he expressed his absolute conviction in the truth of God's Word, saying, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's never darkness, it's always light. In verses 127 through 130, he expressed his absolute conviction in God's Word, saying, Therefore, I love Thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all Thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of Thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Yet again, in verses 137 and 138, he expressed his absolute conviction in the Word of God, saying, Righteous art Thou, O Lord, and upright are Thy judgments. Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Yet again, in verse 144, he said, The righteousness of Thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Finally, in verse 160, he expressed his absolute conviction in the truth of God's Word, saying, Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Did the psalmist have conviction in the truth of God's Word? Yeah. He made a determined choice, but he had deep conviction. He said, I am determined. I have this determination to choose the way of truth. And I have conviction of heart, fully, deeply, completely, that God's Word is that truth. Amen? Brethren, as we close, I leave you with this. Just as in the case of the psalmist, this is the absolute conviction that we must have in the way and the Word of our Lord. This is just the absolute conviction that we must join inseparably with our determined choice to walk after the way and the Word of our Lord. We must possess the absolute conviction of that our Lord's Word and way is completely perfect and thus able to convert and transform our innermost character. We must possess the absolute conviction that our Lord's Word and way is always faithful and thus able to give us true wisdom and understanding. We must possess the absolute conviction that our Lord's Word and way is always right and thus able to bring true spiritual joy to our hearts. We must possess the absolute conviction that our Lord's Word and way is completely pure. and thus able to enlighten our eyes with godly discernment. We must possess the absolute conviction that our Lord's word and way is clean and true and righteous altogether. We must possess the absolute conviction that obeying the instructions and admonitions of our Lord's word is the one and only way to experience great reward from our Lord's hand. Indeed, I present to you, brethren, if we would walk in the way of our Lord, we must possess such absolute conviction joined with a determined choice to walk that way. Amen? You won't walk in the way of the Lord if you don't choose it. You have to choose it. It's not about talk, it's about choice. Amen? You have to get up every day and choose His way, or else you won't walk it. But you won't walk it either if you're not really convinced that what He says is really right. If you're convinced what He says is right, and you're willing to get up each day and choose the right, then you're prepared to walk the right way. But if you're just going to get up and let life just kind of go on its own, you'll go your own way. You won't go His way. And if you get up and you say, well, I want to choose the right, but I'm not sure I'm convinced that God's Word is right, then you'll be convinced by every other new thing that comes down that sounds good. There's the need for determination. There's need for conviction. Now, there's seven others that we'll be considering in future weeks, but these two are the beginning of the process. That's where we must begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for its truth. I thank You for the fact that we can take it up and open it and study therein, meditate therein, learn from it, glean wisdom, and know that it is always right. It is always true. No matter what the world may say about something, if I follow God's way, I'm following the right way. It doesn't matter whether circumstance may at first bear that out. If I'm following God's way, I'm following the right way. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand that not only is that true, but that we have to get up each day and then choose to follow that way. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we think, in every decision that we make, in every motivation that we grab hold upon and allow to move and motivate our life. And it must all be governed by the truth of Your Word if we would follow Your way. Lord, I pray, convince us, convict us, correct us here this morning that we would get on that path. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every head.